Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth in you, since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now I want you to come over to Philemon. And here is another letter that Paul wrote to the saints at Colossae. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward the saints, toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to go back to Colossians in my mind, and we've just read in this letter to Philemon about what a wonderful man this brother was, and what a precious wife Apphia, calls her our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. So I want you to start this picture in your mind of an assembly of Christians. And here's this dear brother, Philemon, beautiful wife. They got an assembly meeting in the home. That's kind of a nice picture. I can picture this because many years ago, we had an assembly meeting in our home. And I had a beautiful wife. And it was quite a job for her every Lord's Day to get things ready, because we had a fellowship meal. Our little assembly had a fellowship meal every Sunday. And my wife, you know, used to have to ask some of the ladies if they would help out with the preparation of the meal and so on. So I can picture this assembly that was meeting in Colossae with Philemon and his family. And we don't read about the beginnings of Onesimus, but on one day, Philemon gets this. I think he had to go down towards the coast, and he had in his mind, I need to get help for Apphia. My wife has a lot of work getting ready for the meetings of the assembly. And while he was there, there was an auction. and they were auctioning some slaves. And Philemon was a man who, he wasn't a man who liked slavery, but as he was watching the auction going on, he saw this young man, kind of a nice-looking young man, looked like a strong man. And as the auctioneer was auctioning these servants, he made a comment, apparently, that this strong young man is a man who, if you're looking for a servant, could really give you some help. And he was, he was building him up as a good person to bid on. And so Philemon says, that's a good idea. Apphia needs some help. And so, to make a long story short, and I don't know exactly the words that were said, he starts bidding on Onesimus, and he gets the bid. And now they're walking back to Colossae, and Onesimus says, thank you, sir, for I take it you're a kind-hearted man, and I'll be a help to you if you'll let me. And they talk. He said, well, some young man, he said, I'm banking on you being a man of your word. And he said, you do the work that I'm going to ask you to do. I'm not going to overwork you. My wife needs some help. And so as the days go by, and apparently, as I'm picturing this scene, there were, this assembly had guest speakers quite often. And a lot of these guest speakers were evangelists by nature. And so they would look for opportunities to witness to this man, Onesimus. But he wasn't really interested in the gospel, or but he was doing his work. He was helping. I don't know what the temperature got there at Colossae. I'm picturing it was kind of like I was telling you in the later, like I wrote a thank you note to all the people who given money to Aletheia Springs, and my teeth were chattering. It was so cold up there where we're living in Ferrum. And apparently they had maybe a wood stove or something in these apartments. And so here's Onesimus. This is the picture that I've had in my mind for a long time. He would bring firewood in and set it. And if it was a real cold day, he would start the fire. And after quite a long time, he was doing this work. He would sweep out the apartments and so on, and cutting a little firewood and bringing firewood in. And can you get the picture with me? Sometime I was threatening to write a book about this. Of course, it wouldn't be a true novel, but it would be my interpretation of Onesimus and his life there at Colossae. And going fast forward, as he's working in Apphia's apartment, she's busy getting things ready for Sunday when the guest speaker would be coming. And as he's doing his business around, he notices on you probably have one in your bedroom, right? Dresser. That's a dresser. Yeah, okay. I knew I could get it out of you. Okay. On the dresser, there was some jewelry. He went over there and looked around, and he said, "This is expensive jewelry." Well, you see, Philemon wasn't a poor man. Philemon was a wealthy man, a man who wouldn't have any trouble buying a slave. And he said, he looked again, and there was some money, quite a huge amount of money. And I see Onesimus laughing to himself, saying, "I'll bet you she's going to put that in the offering on Sunday." And he says, "Foolish people, putting that much money in the offering." And so he scarfed it all up. You like that word, scarfed? He put it in his pockets, or I don't know where he got it, but he quickly went to his own room, and he put all this jewelry and money into a little satchel, and he was off and running. Off and running. Where was he running to? Well, I believe that he at one time had been a sailor, and he knew something about ships. And so he went down to Ephesus, and he saw that a ship had come in, and he recognized that ship as one that he often saw while he was a sailor. And so he went to the captain of the ship, and he said, "Where are you all going?" And he said, "Well, we're going down to Crete," and then he started giving his itinerary, and he said, "Are you going to eventually get to Italy?" He said, "Well, yes, we'll get to Rome, and then we'll turn around and we'll come back." "Are you going to Rome? Oh, do you have any jobs on board your ship?" He said, I used to be a sailor." And he said, "Well, I do need someone." He said, I don't have a lot of money to pay you, but he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you free passage all the way to Rome." He said, that's a great idea. "When are you leaving?" He said, "Well, we're leaving tomorrow." And so here he gets, got his little satchel, all of his money and jewels. He doesn't have to spend any of it. He'll wait till Rome to get there. And so he rides all the way on this ship to Rome. And when he sees they're coming into Rome, he says, "I finally made it." He gets off the boat. Now he has his little satchel of money. And so what do you think he's going to do? Well, he's going to get some fancy duds. Can you picture this story with me? It's my version of it. I don't know if everybody has the same picture, but he gets these fancy duds on, and he goes to a gambling place. And you know what they do in some of these gambles? I've never been a gambler, so I just don't go to those kind of places. And he goes there, but a lot of these gambling places, they cheat you. They let you win a few hands. I know that from hearing people who have done that kind of a thing. And so he makes a little money, and so he starts gambling again. Well, he doesn't make as much this time. And then the next thing, all of a sudden, pretty soon, you find he's broke. Now, what does a gambler do who's not a gambler? And he loses a lot of money. Well, he thinks of a place where he could rob, steal. And now he's not only without money, but he gets caught by the authorities. And they send him to jail. And on his first day in jail, guess who he meets. He meets somebody from Colossae who goes to the assembly at Colossae and knows Onesimus. Onesimus, what are you doing here? He said, oh, well, I'm visiting a great preacher named Paul, the Apostle Paul, who's in prison. You know, Paul was sent in prison and so on. And he says, well, come on in. He said, Paul's teaching us. He gives the lesson. And so day after day, as long as he's in prison, Onesimus has to listen to Paul preach. I like that. And you know who else is there? If you look at the end of Philemon, there's not only Paul, but there's Epaphras. He's from Colossae. And then there's Marcus, that's Mark. And then there's Lucas, that's Luke. Aristarchus. Now, Paul, Mark, and Luke, where do you know them from? You ever read the Gospel of Mark? Did you ever read the Gospel of Luke? Did you ever read any of the writings of the Apostle Paul? It's about half the Old New Testament. It's written by the Apostle Paul. And all of a sudden, Onesimus has nowhere to go. And he's listening. And he's listening. I wish I could have been in that prison with them. You know why I wish I was there? I would have loved to have listened to Paul teach. Would you? I mean, it'd be worth the stay in prison if I wasn't there for life. Miss Judy and I spent a day last week in a courthouse. We met a lady in one of the what do you call these? I forget. My mind goes blank sometimes. It's a place, a restaurant, and we sat down, and there was this lady, young lady, fairly young lady, not as young as I would think normally, and she was there with an old gentleman. This old gentleman had been a man in Franklin County that was head of all of the police, and he was a nice gentleman. We got talking to him and started witnessing to him, and found out he was a Methodist, but not saved. I tried to get him to tell me about what he believed and what kind of teaching he got in the Methodist Church, it certainly didn't convince me that he was ever saved. And this lady was there, and my wife started talking with her, and she told us that she said this. Listen, my son, I don't know if you had ever read about this, she said, but he's been arrested. And I think falsely for accessory to murder. And his friend had taken him for a ride, and her son had gone to Christian Heritage Academy, a Christian school in Franklin County. And he had graduated 2 months earlier, and this friend of his, who he knew, called him up and said, hey, you want to go to Roanoke? And he said, sure. So he went to Roanoke, and he says, listen, I need to see this fellow. He knew the fellow, and he had gone to Christian Heritage Academy with this other man. And he said, he's in Rocky Mount, and so will you want to ride with me to Rocky Mount, back to Rocky Mount? Well, this boy lived in Rocky Mount, Virginia. That's our county seat in Franklin County. And they pulled up at the house, and the fellow who was driving the car said, wait here. He went into the house, and all of a sudden, her son heard a gunshot. And the man who was driving the car got into the car, it was his car, and drove all the way back to Rocky Mount. And on the way back to Rocky Mount, he was carrying a bunch of rifles. And this boy, this son of this lady that we're talking to, she said, well, they've had a court case, and the man who shot and killed this other man was convicted of 3 counts of life imprisonment for first-degree murder. And they arrested her son and charged him with accessory to murder. And she asked us if we would come to the courthouse on such and such a day to listen to the outcome. Anyway, I started thinking of Onesimus. And so here's Onesimus. He hasn't killed anybody, but he's starting to listen to Paul. My, what a pleasure that would have been to listen to Paul teach the Word of God. And lo and behold, Paul leads him to Christ. Oh my, he's so happy. Now he's saved. And Paul said, what are you going to do about Colossae? You left Colossae as a thief. You took Apphia's money and her jewelry, and you're going to have to make restitution. He said, I'm willing to go back to Colossae and face it. I don't have the money. I've wasted it all. And apparently I believe that Paul or one of the brethren who were there reimbursed him some of that money. And then Paul writes this letter to Philemon. We read the first couple of verses. And he comes down, it's all real nice, until he comes, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is my own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Well, Paul writes another letter at the same time. He's writing a letter to Colossae. And we started to read there in Colossians chapter 1. And he's telling all about, in verse 7, I think we read up to verse 6. So Paul's letter reads, as you also learned of Epaphras, they know him, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And he goes on. What a precious letter this is. Now, there's two letters sent. And on Sunday, when they get these two letters, they're reading the first one, the one to Philemon. And as you come down through the second chapter, you come down to the third chapter, and he comes to verse 7 of the fourth chapter. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, and he talks about Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, also laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And then he mentions Luke and salute the brethren. Well, I'm going to go back to my idea of the whole story. It's Sunday, and Onesimus has come with Tychicus, and he's got word from Paul and these other brethren. And I can picture two elderly ladies. I'm not judging elderly ladies. My wife is now an elderly lady, okay? And if I would say something that would make her feel older today, then that wouldn't be good. But I can picture these two elderly sisters, probably widows, as they're sitting side by side in the meeting hall. And one of them says, "Oh, that's Tychicus. Boy, I haven't seen him in a long time. Who's that with him? You know what? He sort of looks like that slave that Philemon brought in, who robbed Apphia, stole that money and that jewelry. Do you remember that? How long ago was that? That was almost 2 years ago, wasn't it? Yeah. Well, he sure does look like that Onesimus guy." And then they're listening to these letters being read. I love this. And all of a sudden they come to this letter to Philemon. And they say, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother." I can see these two ladies, elderly ladies, almost jump up That is Onesimus. What? How's he with Tychicus? And I'm sure it's not in the book of Colossians, but I'm sure afterwards people flock. Tychicus and Onesimus flock to them. And they say, are you really Onesimus? Oh, do you know we've been praying for you that you would get saved. How did you get saved? And he tells them the story. Oh, I'm ashamed, deeply ashamed. Oh, deeply ashamed. And I've been given money to repay Apphia. And Apphia comes up and says, Onesimus, oh, dear sister, I'm so sorry. Here's the money to repay for that jewelry and that money that I stole from you a couple years ago. Will you forgive me? Of course I will. And she hugs him. You know, that's the one thing I like about Christians, godly Christians. You know, they're willing to accept a person getting saved and willing to lose money and jewelry for their souls. Can't you picture that? Oh my. What a precious scene that is. Now, I've done a little research on the veracity of my taking liberty of this story of Onesimus. And I've learned that Onesimus not only was returned to Philemon, but he became one of the best known preachers in that whole region. And in fact, by the time the story is ended, Onesimus is the leading preacher in the entire region. Isn't that a good story? I think it's a true story. I've uncovered most of what I've given to you as true story. Onesimus saved and becomes a man of God. What more can I add to that? And I'm supposed to stop at quarter till, is that right? Time? It's quarter till. Let's give thanks. Let's give thanks for the salvation of Onesimus and for Paul and Mark and Luke and these godly men who gave their all to bring him to Christ. Lord, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you that this isn't just a made-up story, but Lord, this is a man who has had lots of problems, and yet who you allowed to end up in prison with these godly men, Paul, Mark, Luke, Aristarchus. Oh, Lord, what a scene, and how with tenderness and love, they prepared him, you prepared him to receive the gospel and to get saved. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your precious word and know that you've done that over and over again, different ones in different places. And now we thank you for the food that we're about to partake of, and we receive it with thanksgiving from your hand in Jesus' precious name. Amen.